don't know if everybody can hear that. I think because I'm sharing the speakers doing multiple things. So, for those of y'all who don't know, this is the this is our most recent trailer for the Independence Day Project. Welcome, welcome to the office hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Tolbert. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones. Erica, are you there, Erica?
Hello, everyone. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you can hear me.
And hello, tonight, everyone.
All right, and listen, family, please share the show with as many people as you can. Also, check us out on the Freedom Train Network. All right, check us out on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Make sure you go there. Also, family, share the broadcast. Share the broadcast. I'm going to be on here inviting friends. Get off your ass. Come join us in office hours. It used to be when we were outside on the porch. You come out and join us in the porch when it's freezing cold. Toes freezing. I don't think I understand, man, what I used to do. I used to have this show outside in the freezing cold when I had a blog talk show. And I was frozen putting it in that work. But we're going to put it in the night, family. So like I said, make sure you share with as many people as you can. If you see me looking crazy off screen, that's because I'm sharing this show with the family as we try to expand our broadcast network. Also, family, understand one of the things we're trying to build with the Independence Day Project, as well as this particular network and all the networks, we're trying to build a database so that we can have a guide and utilize that guide to share, broadcast, and make sure that we get our information out in an organized fashion. So if you have a great, if you have a show, a radio show, or a blog show, and it's a podcast, or you have a, if you go live, hit a brother up on the inbox, because I'm about to put that list out. You know, I'm gonna work on it over the weekend, and I'm gonna put that list out amongst a bunch of other things. But make sure you share this broadcast. But tonight, family, I got my brother, I've seen my brother had last year we had the African Independence Day. And this time last year, we had the Buy Black Marketplace. All right, now this Sunday, this is last year's flyer, by the way. I want everybody to be clear, this is last year's flyer, so you didn't miss anything. This year will be December 23rd. Do I have the dates right, Brother Oba?
Yes, sir.
So I got my Brother Oba on the line, so I'm gonna allow my Brother Oba to speak more and to speak about the project, also because he is part of the Independence Day Project, by the way, and he was part of the small viewing party that we had. So, but real quick, I want my brother to talk about the Buy Black Marketplace. It's going to take place at the Church of the Covenant 18th and Diamond this weekend. Brother Oba, I want to welcome you to the fan piece. Let the people know who you are, Brother Oba.
Thank you, Professor. Thank you for having me on. It's been a whirlwind these last 2 weeks. I've done so many different radio programs and radio broadcasts to promote for African Independence Day organizing committee and Urban Shaman Productions, which was second annual Buy Black Marketplace to Kwanzaa celebration. So, you know, we just another one of those shows, brother. But thank you for having me.
I appreciate you, brother. So, bro, please tell the people, the family. What is the African marketplace, the Buy Black marketplace, and you know, tell them basically where they can go and get the you know, be able to be a part of this.
Well, the Buy Black Marketplace 2x celebration is an event that we've had for a number of years now. It goes back to the days of the old Pole of Africa here in the city of Philadelphia, which is located at 624 South Street. Where that I met, who was the founder of the African Independence Day, my celebration, had a culture shop down on South Street and hosted the Buy Black Marketplace to Kwanzaa celebration. And we lost our brother in time, and back in 2012, he also was the founder of the organization that we had co-founded, the Nation of African People's Unity. And when he passed away, back in 2015, 3 years after he had passed away, or 2 years after he had passed, I decided, along with my brothers, Brother Kamul and Brother Peru, of the Urban Shaman Band and Urban Shaman Seduction, to restart the Black Marketplace. So it has been going on for some time, but it's the second year that he's done it as the African Independence Day Organizing Committee and Urban Shaman Seduction. And we're going to have it once again this year at the Church of the Advocate, located at 1801 Diamond Street in North Philadelphia, on the campus of Temple University, from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's $5 for adults, and it is free for children under 12. And we're going to have all kinds of activities for the entire family, activities for children. We're going to have speakers as far as talking about entrepreneurship, how to go about setting up or starting your own business, what it takes to start your own business, as well as we will have young entrepreneurs who are in business for themselves right now, like Brother Ron Green, aka Red the Ruler, or Red Up African Apparel.
I'm rocking his shirt right now. Talk black. What's up, African? My brother Ron Green in the What's Up African Apparel family. Shout out to them. Also part of the Independence Day Project. Boy, brother, I'm sorry. Got excited.
hey, man, you know, I have a couple of their shirts as well. They're quality. And the brother put out a nice line of shirts. And I definitely am happy to have supported the Ron, you know, shirt and other pals. The What's Up African Apparel. So he will be one of our teacher speakers. Mm-hmm. And we will also have teacher performers such as University of African Dance Drum Ensemble, as well as the Urban Shamans. They will perform, and a few other performers as well. So it's gonna be a great event, but most importantly, we want the people to shop. We want the people to buy and spend their money. And that's why it's so expensive for an admission price, because the rest of your money can go towards, you know, buying gifts and things that you may want for the family, or things that you want for yourself. This particular time of year, he said that we spend the most money, you know, and you help to add on to the, you know, financial economy in the country and give it a boost, a shot in the arm. So we spend with people who don't look like us.
Right.
People who don't care about the money that we have to recycle within our community. So this is a way of, you know, reversing the polarity and that whole thing by establishing a Black Marketplace, so that we can begin the process of recycling our dollars. I'm not saying that our marketplace alone, you know, is the answer, but the more that we have events like this, the better it is. And, you know, our people have to go downtown, just in Philadelphia, these department stores and shops, when they can just shop with their own people in their own community.
Right. One of the more important things is, I mean, you touched on something that's important that we need to really focus on. It's not that going to the African marketplace is going to solve the problem, the economic issues or problems that we have in our community. They're not going to solve that overnight. But everybody has a role to play. So if you're in this African marketplace, in the Buy Black Business Marketplace, if you are in another region where they're having Kwanzaa celebrations and they're also having gatherings, this is how you can contribute. You know, these are parts of the, you know, the little piece. Because so for some reason, when we bring these topics up, bro, a lot of us, for some strange reason, feel as though that the problem is too big for any one person to solve. And they're right. But when everybody takes their part and lifts this burden up, lifts up this issue or lifts it up, then it lessens the load, it lessens the burden on other people. You know, so when we have that, like right now, I'm running a special right now to try to promote Black businesses in the best way I know how. Y'all see, I got the Independence Day project. The movie is done. Somebody out in the back shooting, busting shots off. I don't know what's going on. But somebody, we got the Independence Day project going on, and I'm offering promotions for people for our people to promote their businesses. Permanent promotion. Whereas, you know how you get the previews before a show, the previews before a movie? Well, you know, this is the preview before the movie, where I will give you between, you know, 15 to 30 seconds to promote your stuff at a relatively cheap price. You know, limited time offer only, because, you know, the later on, the longer we go with this, the harder it's going to be to, the harder it's going to be to come back, because once you get into mass production stage, then you got to go back and change the whole format. So then, you know, the prices change. But the bottom line is, we start lifting up each other with these simple things. It's not hard. But black, you know, we seem to make it more complicated than it is. It's not hard. So if you're in Philly this weekend and you're out here, you got several things going on. My brother Mitchell Chance has a different program going on later on in the afternoon. So you can do both, because what are the hours of the Bob Black Marketplace? What are the hours?
Yeah,
it was like 2
p.m. to
8
p.m.
Okay, so 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. We got Mitchell thing going on at 4. My brother Mitchell Chance joint going on at 4. For more information, hit the brother up. My brother IJ Tyamba is coming all the way out of Harlem to be a part of this program. You know what I'm saying? So that's a big shout out. You know, Harlem Liberation School will be in the house. You know, so family, make sure y'all get a chance to come out, speak to my brother Oba, And Brother Oba, give the contact information again. I don't know if you gave the contact information. Give the contact information again so they can know how to get in touch with you, know how to get with you, so that we'll be able to, so we'll be able to make sure that everybody can get down.
More information for Saturday's second annual Bob Black Marketplace Pecan Celebration. You can contact us at AfricanIndependenceDay.org, which is our webpage, African, spelled AFRAKAN.
Okay.
You can also contact us on our Gmail, AfricanIndependenceDay@gmail.com, African, spelled AFRAKAN@gmail.com. And I just gave you the website, which is AfricanIndependenceDay.org. Or you can give us a call at 267-521-1544. Once again, that's 267-521-1544.
And
you can also visit our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/ African Independence Day, which is also spelled AFRAKAN.
All right. So make sure y'all check out my brother. Start my computer over. Make sure y'all check out my brother, because what we need right now, we need more family participation. You know what I'm saying? We need the family to participate. Brother Oba, one of the things we're going to do, me and Erica are going to jump into the conversation. You're welcome to hang on as long as you can, if you want to hang on and hang out, because this part of the conversation, you know, we're about to jump into the nitty-gritty of the show. One more thing too, y'all. My sister, I had a long conversation with my sister Talia Jones. She was in the she's in the Independence Day Project. In fact, that's the beautiful sister that you see at the front of the new trailer when she's pontificating on what does a successful and free black community look like, free of white supremacy. And she was playing with it. You know, it looks like the people who are no longer colonized. Because we're about to get into that conversation. But we're going to be on Sunday, a special edition office hours, and we're going to be talking about Hollywood, Hollyweird, Hollywood, and we're going to be talking about that and the impact it's had on the black community. But we're also going to talk about some behind-the-scenes things that you don't realize, like how the creation of the Cardi B's and, you know, the Nicki Minaj's and the things they have to go through. So we're going to get through, we're going to have a conversation on that. Also, make sure that if you have a place and you would like to host the Independence Day Project, we are ready and we are willing to come out to black-owned establishments. I know I got to get in touch with a few people here in Philly. And if you want to bring me to your city, hit a brother up on the inbox or direct message either way. You can contact me On Facebook at Carl Tone Jones. Hit me up in my inbox. I'm very active. I'm responsive. If you're not sending me bullshit, I'll be clear on that. But I'm responsive to that and all inquiries. And if you want to hit me up, go to my website where you can hit up my email address at ctone1111@aol.com. I still have AOL. I'm kind of like not really proud of that, but I'm going to work on that. As well as, you know, you can go to the website, www.blackindependence.org. So, Erica. Erica, got to play with the mute button, y'all.
Whatever.
All right. So, Erica, we were talking over the weekend and throughout the week, and we and you came across this interesting topic, and you actually sent me a screenshot or something. Can you break that down, that screenshot down?
Yeah, so I was on my phone looking at the news, and I saw that this couple in Canada had died. And, you know, their death was suspicious. So I look at it, a billionaire couple. Mm-hmm. So I'm reading the article, reading the story, and so the part that stuck out to me was the fact that they donated a lot of money to several organizations, and they had given over $50 million to the Jewish Foundation, United Jewish Appeal Foundation.
Wow.
And in a statement on that website, it said that they expressed that it was an obligation of theirs to support the Jewish community. When I read that they put on the website that it was their obligation to donate to the Jewish community, I'm like, well, I'll be goddamn. Like, they felt obligated to give the Jewish community $50 million plus dollars. They donated to this community on a regular basis. So I screenshotted it and I sent it to you because my first thought was, we always know that everybody feels a sense of obligation. Like I constantly state from Donald Sterling, who is Jewish, he expressed how the Jewish people felt that it was an obligation to come together and build, to pool their money together, to fund whatever it is they had, you know, going on as far as taking over, you know, putting their work together. So my question was, why don't Black people feel like it's an obligation to build our own community? We make it an obligation to go outside of our community to beg for money. We make it an obligation to put our money in other communities. But why don't we feel like it's an obligation for us to come together to build our own communities, to support our own communities? And even more so, why do we feel like it shouldn't be an obligation? You have some people that feel like or feel bad because, well, why must I only support the Black community? We still don't get how other races and ethnic groups own code is sticking together. We can't comprehend it.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that, one of the issues that I love that you put it and you said it in that manner. We've seen, and we talk about this once again in the Independence Day project. We talk about this, the fact that we seem to lack racial integrity when it comes to our community. And when we talk about racial integrity, that means that you don't sell out, but you also have to, you're vested. You have a certain type of civic pride that's part of who you are. And we seem to be, you know, moved away from that in terms of, you know, community. It's like the further we get away from the Black Power movement of the 70s, the further we get away from, you know, this whole unified push. And every time we seem to gather, you know, some momentum towards it, you know, sometimes, you know, that magnetism of your community, every time we seem to gather something towards that, something else happened and it seemed to tear it apart. You had when we started politicizing hip hop. And hip hop was our cry. It was like our, you know, 411. You know, it was how we broke the community down. And then, you know, hip hop was turned into gangster rap. I'm not blaming any particular genre, because we could talk about N.W.A., but we had some gangster rappers over here. In fact, one gangster rapper out of Philly was, you know, Schoolie D was the one who went to the West Coast and actually taught them how to put together the whole concept of gangster rap. So, you know, but the basis is, every time we've had an opportunity to come together, they figured out a way to unglue us and to make it sort of, you know, to make us, to shame us almost from what black nationalism. I mean, listen, I got my brother on the line, Brother Obar, who is one of the deepest brothers I know when it comes to understanding black and African culture. Brother Obar, did you hear what Sister Erica said in terms of, you know, what our topic is for this evening?
Yes, I did. I did, Brother Carl. And one of the things I wanted to say, or what I was thinking about when she was speaking, was one of the reasons why I think that we don't stick together, that we don't support each other, and that we are so quick to run outside of our community to support someone else without doubt, is because we don't, or let me not say that, we're not clear on our culture. We're not clear on who we are. And by not being clear on who you are, you can't define the culture. The reason why Asians don't have to run outside of their community and support one another is because of that cultural teach a cultural matrix that they have amongst them as Asian people. Mm-hmm. So-called Jews, same thing. Italians, same thing. Most other ethnicities and nationalities have that. We don't. We understand why. After being the people that were in bondage, prisoners of war, as they like to call it, they don't really like using that term, being a slave or being so-called enslaved, those pieces of our cultural matrix that kept us together and kept us binded together, regardless of land, label, title, or location, or where we were at on the continent, or even those of us who are indigenous people to this particular country, those things were torn apart from us. So, if you don't have a clear understanding of who you are and a clear understanding of your culture, which is your way of life, which is germane to you and your people, this is why you identify with everybody else's culture and identify with everybody else as far as thinking that their ice is cold. So you want to run and shop with Europeans. You want to run and shop with Asians. You want to run and shop with everybody else outside of your own community because of the cognitive dissonance and the, you know, confusion and chaos that exists with what you think exists amongst your people. So you take that mindset that you're that you're not trusting and that you can't work with or support your own. So that's the reason why.
And, you know, I even find that not even with financially speaking, you know, money-wise, it's like even in terms of where we want to live, who we want to be around, you know, it's like we are, you know, the indoctrination, the social engineering, whatever you want to call it, that we've been dealing with has created a vice within us that we feel as though the further we are away from our people, the better off we're going to be. So we don't even think in terms of, you know, because like when the dominant society, when they decide, and not just them, other communities, when they decide to come to your city, or when they decide to migrate to an area, it's a migration. It's not just one, family. You might have one scout family, but for the most part, they decide to move all at once. When we do things, it's in secrecy. I don't want that heifer down the street to know what my business. I don't want my aunt or uncle in my business. I don't want my own mother, father in my business. I'm doing this for me. And we've seemed to adopt it, that whole strata, that whole that piece of rugged individualism that seems to dominate our thinking nowadays. It's like we have a do for self mentality, really. Not just do for self in terms of like community, but no, me, my individual, me, myself, and I are the only three people I'm concerned with. You know what I'm saying? And we have that aspect, and that kicks in all aspects, even in this conscious stuff we talk. You know, I'm in this conscious circle. We have a lot of people. I know people. You know people that in these conscious circles, they can't fucking stand each other. You know what I'm saying? They hate each other's guts. And they but in other communities, you'll find they hate each other too. It's not just us, but they work together because the community is bigger than the individual. So while they're conspiring to kill each other, which they've done, while they're conspiring to unseat, cause poverty, and have competition with one another, they realize at the end of the day, certain aspects of the culture, specifically building, making sure that their culture is designed to go forth and designed to be strong, those are more important than their personal aspirations. And they take, so they won't go as far as to cut off their nose despite their face like we will. And it's based on, I think we can go back to what you said. I mean, Erica, when you wrote that, there was a, what was the word? Obligation, right? Was that the word that was used in that particular, in that that joint that you sent me a few days ago?
Correct. I think that's definitely the key word we have to focus on, the obligation. We got to think about things that in life that we're obligated. I'm obligated to get up and go to work every day. I'm obligated to pay my bills. I'm obligated to have and to do certain things. Like, it's an obligation. I have to do it. I feel obligated to do so. Some people are obligated to go to church every Sunday. They don't go because they like going to church or because they prefer to sleep in. They feel it's an obligation for them to show up in that building every single Sunday. And one second, while we're talking about, while I mentioned the church thing about sharing, I want to touch on, people always invite me to their church, especially at my job, because, you know, I'm predominantly where I work at is Black. I'm always getting somebody inviting me to their church because they stand and feel so strongly about their church. If you stand strongly and you love listening to office hours, share it. I remember when people used to get saved and they used to say they feel so good about Jesus and they can't keep it to themselves. If you feel so good and you love this show, don't keep it to yourself. Share it. Right. You can find a podcast on iTunes, Freedom Training. Please share it. Tell people they can watch it on the weekends, as they're going to sleep, when they're getting ready to work. They don't necessarily have to watch it live, but please share the show. But yeah, people feel obligated to do certain things, especially when it comes to their religion. They feel an obligation. It's people that are obligated to celebrate Christmas. It's people that are obligated to do certain things. Why don't we feel like it's an obligation to just the Black community? We don't feel like it. As a matter of fact, we take pride, some of us, in being the one that's saying, oh, I ain't helping them. Like, why should I help people that ain't helping themselves? Some of us take pride in giving our money like we're better than the next because we're able to give our money to other communities who, in return, get to take our dollars with their obligation and continue to build their community.
Right. And see, that's crazy, right? Okay, so I keep going back to this joint I did, this lecture that I did at Cheney several years ago. And we would love to build up, by the way, sort of like a lecture circuit with the HBCUs so we can help them start getting organized because not only around, you know, just issues of Black empowerment, but issues of saving the accreditation of the HBCUs. Shadow, I got the biggest cat. But anyway, one of the things that that I think that's crazy is at this lecture, this sister at the end, and I share this story all the time, she said, you know what's crazy? She said, everybody comes to our community and exploits us and take money back home to their community. This Dominican grocer told her that he has a corner store, he makes $1 million a year because the Black people in that vicinity don't support each other and they come to him and he has to cook all their food. $1 million! You know what I'm saying? Now, whether he exaggerated or not, we don't know. But the bottom line is they're opening up stores within two or three blocks of one another. You know what I'm saying? Within two or three blocks of one another, they open up stores. So there has to be some cash coming in. And the thing is, our stores don't stay open because we don't support those stores, but we'll support other people. And see, that's one of the sickest things. You mentioned that was that was kind of brilliant what you just mentioned, though, in terms of, you know, if we are a part of something, we want to share it. I don't know why, but a lot of times we put things out and we can't get people to share it. They'll like the fuck out of it, but they won't share it. And I know part of that, I guess maybe part of that is that, you know, wear that cup of coffee without enough creamer in it, and you don't want to be associated. Because a sister did tell me, I watch all the things you do and I approve of it. I just can't like them all the time. And she never indulged, but I know why, you know, and it's that fear. But see, if we stood together, our community could be prideful and boastful about the shit we did with no apologies needed, no not being afraid to stand on that particular pedestal or whatever. And that's one of the biggest problems we have, is because we have this whole concept, the chicken and the egg. And I tried to do it when I was driving before, but traffic was getting crazy and it was goofy around the time of the day. So I'm gonna go into the chicken and the egg real quick. As a community, we don't support things when they are egg, you know, a process. Whether you talk about what came first, chicken and the egg, we're gonna go with the egg first this time. We don't support it enough when it's the egg. Now, when you think about the egg itself, all it needs for you to do is to nurture it, right? When you go into the hen house, I mean, you go into the, you know, you see the chickens and things like that. Several chickens occupy the eggs sometimes. They all sit on the eggs. They all incubate the eggs. And we don't take pride in the incubation period. We celebrate when that chick is hatched and then it becomes a strong chicken. And then we'll celebrate it. Like, entertainers and athletes have no problem with getting support from us. Community-wise, though, when it comes to building the community, we're looked at as we're deserving poor righteous teachers. And part of that is, it goes back to what you said, is the community doesn't feel an obligation to take care of the people that they want to serve the community. Now, you mentioned, what's his name, Sterling, right? What's the first name? I want to make sure we get it right.
Donald Sterling.
Donald Sterling came out and said, right at the time when he was under fire for his comments towards, you know, the Los Angeles Clippers, and the ones he got caught saying with, I think it was B. Stevie I, I think that was the sister's name, that he was, you know, that he was in an affair with. So at that time, he was talking about how Black people, Black athletes, entertainers aren't loyal to their community, and people got outraged, you know. But he was saying basically the Jewish community, if anybody in the Jewish community is getting bread, they make sure that they get bread. We don't. And he's not lying about that when he's talking about collectively, right? Look at, there was a story where the Jewish community up in Brooklyn, they started collusion. Now, collusion is illegal like a motherfucker. Price gouging, illegal like a motherfucker. It's because, basically it's, you're discriminating against other groups of people, well, however you're dealing with. But they created a system where they took over the Section 8 program. So they became Section 8 landlords in buildings in New York, right? And if anybody in New York knows, y'all can check me on this. I see we got my brother Mark McPhee in the line. I see we got a couple other people that's been in and out of New York, Sister Ann Jeffries. So let me know if I'm lying about this. They went and they got all their people to get on Section 8. And then they started putting ads out in their newspapers, and they started writing in Yiddish, right? Now, you know, we don't know Yiddish. We're not even gonna pick up a Jewish newspaper. They started passing out these newspapers and they were putting the ads in those newspapers so only Jews would apply and get the Section 8 rate. to those places. Now, a lot of them were skimming the government. A lot of them were skimming, lying about their income just to get on Section 8, but they were moving into those rent-controlled housing apartments and communities at dirt cheap, and it was a community effort. You know what I mean? That nobody told anybody, because one hand with feet was rubbing the other. And see, we don't function like that. We have a fuck that nigga mentality when it comes to those things. And I know a lot of it is based on a lot of us being locked in our neighborhoods and not being able to get out. But a lot of it is right now, we're still dealing with the mentality of rugged individualism. We can't even be on code for a message. And that's a big problem. That's one of the reasons why we did the Independence Day Project, is to get the community on code with developing an identity and developing a community with a culture of survival. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I mean. So Brother Ober, in the movie, you talk about Chinatown in specific. Can you go into that a little bit about the things that, you know, make Chinatown different than our black neighborhoods? And it's not just Philly, it's all over the country. Is Brother Ober still here? Brother Ober might have checked out. Let me check the Skype. Oh, Brother Ober? No, Brother Ober's still there. Brother Ober, you have us on mute. Don't tell me the man got you. He got Brother Ober choked up. All right. So, anyway, with Brother, I'll speak on to it a little bit. But Brother Ober was talking about one of the things that Brother Ober was talking about one of the things that we were, you know, dealing with in terms of the concepts that Asian culture binds the Asian community, and it didn't matter whether you were Cambodian, whether you were from the Philippines, whether you were from China, Japan, Korea, you know, Vietnam. All those cultures co-mingle in Chinatowns all over the country, and they maintain, they have what's called, they work economically together. They have what's called Korean import merchants. You know what I'm saying? We call it Kim. You think Kim is a family name of the damn Chinese store or the hair salon or the hair care store? No. Kim is their code word. It's their code for, you know, we are, how they come together and they put all their resources in a bag, one bag, and they buy all the things they need. They aggregate and they buy all the things they need collectively, therefore getting dirt cheap rates because they're buying everything in bulk, and then they split it up in these warehouses all over the city. You know, I've talked to a lot of black business owners who said, man, I went into that and, man, we couldn't get along. We couldn't get past 5 minutes in the meeting without somebody thinking somebody was trying to get over. And where do we have to get to, or where do we have to move to get past that point? Eric, I bring that question here. Where do we have to move to get past it? Because that seems to be one of the biggest things that we have in our community, is a lack of trust in dealing with each other. So what do you think? What are some of the things you think we might be able to do to overcome that particular barrier?
The first thing we have to do is stop, as I speak on often, is viewing ourselves through the lens that people that oppressed us gave us. I told you, a lot of things I no longer do. And one of those things I don't do is I don't watch TV. I just don't. Not that I don't have the time or any of that, but whenever we're looking at ourselves on TV, it's never anything positive. Whether it's the news, the TV show, it's always something negative or negative images that we see about ourselves. Start hanging around people who are like-minded individuals. You know, we ran across a lot of people in the conscious community that were scam artists, but I still don't come to the next person that in the community and say and automatically think that, hey, you know what, he has to get me. But again, we have to realize at the end of the day, we're all we got. We have to build a circle of trust amongst one another. Start hanging around people that are on the same chance as you. And if one person else in your circle that don't belong there, that fits the strength amongst the others, like him. I'm running him. Look how she was instantly shut out of the circle once people just realized, hey, you know what? You're not welcome here. You, your lies, your scams, you're not welcome here. I mean, she just went just like unheard of once we caught on and made sure she felt like she wasn't appreciated in any of our circles.
Right.
And that she wasn't going to come into our lives and in our circles trying to scam black people. We weren't going for it. But again, it's about pushing the negative things that are around you that allow you not to trust black people. Push them out of your life. That's the first step. And you know something? It's one guy from the Middle East in a St. Louis area. He owns all of the clowns around here, St. Louis, Metro East, St. Louis. And what he does is he lends money to Middle Eastern people and have them open up their own little corner stores. So they don't have to go to in this country, he lends them the money directly and supports them to promote opening up these little chain stores, these little restaurants where they find up all this soul food and Philly cheese steak that aren't really Philly cheese steak, fried chicken joints. He has it sewn up. I mean, that's where everybody goes. Middle Eastern descent to get their money. They get their loans from him, not the bank. Again, all it takes is one person to start building the wealth within a community. But again, we don't trust one another enough to. I can run ideas past people. I told them about advertising with the Independence Project. I mean, $25 for 15 seconds, that's nothing. You blow that in a week on junk food. In a week in junk food. If you can't advertise for your business, and that's a permanent advertisement.
Yes. You know, $25.
You have some people that the picture of it. Because again, we don't know how to market. We don't know how to brand. We don't know the basic fundamentals of business.
And here's the thing, and I tell people all the time, and the wild part about that whole idea is, you know, the Independence Day Project movie, once your business is on the marquee, it stays there. And for the life of me, I'm still trying, but you know what? It's one of those things, again, we got to see the chicken full grown because, you know, other video projects that started off small. Like, you know, you remember... for, you know, Hidden Colors. You know, Hidden Colors started off small. And now, you know, if Hidden Colors does a crowdfund, they're getting up towards $250,000 to do the next movie. And it's cool, and that's what's up, because, you know, we need to be supporting our own ventures. We need to be supporting those things. So, you know, shout out to Hidden Colors, to Tariq Nasheed, and all the success that they got in terms of putting together, you know, getting the crowdfunds up and getting movies together. But, you know, other projects, I'm no longer doing crowdfunds because I was mad as shit at the black community for not supporting the Independence Day Project. I bullshit you not. And I never want to feel that way about my people again. So I'm never going to put myself in that position. I'm just going to say that. I was a bitter bitch when it came to that shit, and I'm not even going to lie.
Yeah, you were.
Thank you. Yes, you know. I used to be on the phone bitching to you about it. You know, in turn, so I'm never going to go that route again. So I'm giving people the opportunity, to promote with me. You know, but it's like we get caught up in this, this mindset that, you know, if for some strange reason the cognitive dissonance kicks in. It's like we get ready to press that button, and right before we press the button, cognitive dissonance kicks in and say, we're not supposed to be supporting each other. We're not supposed to be building black power. Everything you see about people, black people successfully, and like you said something earlier, the television, everything feeds into black people relinquishing their power. The TV show that just went off the air, you know, Empire, that show was about black people relinquishing their power, you know, being... But black people being a part of another, you know, their success hinged on being acknowledged outside of their community. You know, not building from within, not and having an empire. You know, you're dealing with trouble every week, but you got an empire though. You know what I'm saying? Power. Power is all about black people fucking each other over for power. You know, negligible power, nevertheless. You know, these are not game changers. You're talking about opening up a goddamn club. You know what I'm saying? That's not power. You know, we want to talk about power. Power ain't in the streets like, you know, if you're a drug dealer, you ain't the power. You're not even, okay, I'll say this out of order. Like, hold on, this is what you are. That's your power. The rest of this water is the real power when it comes to drug dealing and things of that nature, because the real power players are untouchable. You know, they never even set foot in the country half the time. You know, you're the ones that
they're at the bottom of that pyramid scheme.
Exactly.
It's a big pyramid scheme, and the people in. I often say I don't understand why people think that a drug dealer, especially when they're black, they move in weight. They're not moving weight because they are, you don't even know where the drugs are coming from. Like, you don't even have that connect in that plant because it's not coming from America. We only have connections on this continent or in this country because we don't travel outside of the country. I mean, it's rare that you meet someone that could go to a black person that could go to another country and get the dope up front like this. That is extremely rare. So with that being said, you are at the bottom of the chain of the pyramid scheme.
Right. And so when we start talking about accumulating real black power, that's when you see the federal government come in. Now, there was a time where, you know, an accumulated, and we're talking about this, there was three record producers. They were going to take over the distribution process. They all got raided by the feds within the same week. You know, Jay Prince, Dame Dash, and Suge Knight. They all got raided by the feds in the same freaking week. You know what I'm saying? And that's because they were about to take over an entire industry. You know, that's power. You know what I mean? Because they were the ones, we're the producers, but the producers and the distributors are two different things. You know, the producers wasn't getting they didn't have access to the power. The distributors did, because they determined who got your shit. And so, we even speak about that in the Independence Day Project. When we start talking about how these big black moguls, black billionaires and upper crust 100 millionaires they have access to this wealth, but they still, because their wealth is consolidated in certain ways, then they're not connected. And because they're not invested in the community can't protect them when those Europeans come in and take their shit, like they did with Suge Knight. Now, you could vouch for Suge Knight, call Suge Knight whatever you want. He was still a black man in charge of a $600 million empire in the middle of the 90s. The middle of the 90s. I had no idea until I started seeing documentaries, because, you know, it's like the 20-year anniversary of Tupac's death. They came out with the Tupac movie. That I didn't realize that Death Row, and they controlled the whole city. They controlled the city of Compton. They literally controlled the entire city. When I mean control, 100,000 black people in this city, they controlled. They controlled the police department. They controlled the mayor's office. They controlled the fucking school board. You really got to dig deep to see how much power and control that was just lost because of corruption and because Negroes can't fucking get along. You know what I'm saying? And because we can't get along, because we don't find that need, we don't see that need to build one another and build with one another, when they come for him, when they came for everybody else, they were all easy targets because they didn't have nobody standing with them. And that gets down to the point where we started this show off with the fact that as a community, we have to be, you know, we have to see, the community has to be the obligation. You know, because by saying F the community, you're saying F your children. Do you really want to put your children out there in the world that they ain't prepared to deal with? The same way we were put in this world, not prepared to deal with the shit that we got coming down the pipe? Do you really want to create that atmosphere or have that atmosphere where the children themselves have to fix up and clean up the mess we were too negligent to deal with? because it's going to be worse for them. You know, the systems are being put in place right now. They're not even going to have the same access to information that we had. Right now, with net neutrality coming in, we don't even have a secondary network where we can all communicate, because we're not thinking forward in terms of building Black power. We're thinking about shopping. We're thinking about going out getting clothes. We're thinking about all the other shit that's unnecessary. We're thinking about partying. We're thinking about all, right about now, motherfuckers is getting ready for the playoffs. They're already playing the Super Bowl party right now. And we're not thinking about the plan to see for the future for our children, or coming together collectively to you know, like the those two Europeans that Erica referenced, when they said they had an obligation to pursue, make sure that the Jewish community was in place. They have foundations, billion and billion dollar foundations and trusts put in place to make sure that their community has the resources to march forward. They have that. You know, I was talking to my brother not too long ago. He was telling me how Chinatown in Philly doesn't really have the power that we think it has. But Chinatown in Philly is still strong enough. We're still strong enough to tell the Philadelphia Phillies that they could not build a baseball stadium near Chinatown. They had to take their baseball stadium and go and create to build another, go down to South Philly to where the existing sports complex was, and they had to build that area up. And that's what they're doing right now. But Chinatown, where people would have access off of I-76 and 676 and Broad Street and Vine Street, and you know, be able to come, people would be able to drive up I-95, get go to the game, and then go back home from other cities. Nah, they say you can't do that. You know what I mean? And that was the strength of Chinatown. Right now in North Philadelphia, they're about to uproot. They've already gentrified the shit out of the, you know, North Street, North Broad Street around Temple University. They've already gentrified that to the point where one time I drove down the street and saw these sea of white faces. I had to do a double take to make sure I was on the right block. I'm talking 15th and Sesq, 17th and Susquehanna, 17th and Diamond. You know, if you're from Philly, you already know what I'm talking about. Well, now, right in that same area, Temple University is about to build a football stadium, and they're uprooting the residents in that area. Do we have a strong enough Black community to stop them from uprooting people who have 3, 4, 5 generations in a house? Do we have that? And see, that's where you talk about a community standing and rising and working together and building together. You know, we have to get off that point where we want other people to do it for us. Eric, you spoke about that earlier. If we want to stand by and want other people to save us, and then we ourselves don't want to be a part of that rescue project. We don't want to get any skin in the game. We don't want to get any dirt under our fingernails and things of that nature. So we stand by helplessly like damsels in distress. And as Brother Shamari said one time, as he was hosting, as he allowed me to step in and sit in on his show one time, we're not damsels in distress. We got to stop coming at this situation, this issue with that powerlessness, you know, vacuum where we don't have the power to change and address and correct our situation, you know. So here in Philly, I know in St. Louis, y'all got like 5 universities around there, probably gentrifying all of damn St. Louis, you know. But when do we get to that point, family? And this is the question. I'm putting this question to the audience. Anybody still listening, please continue to share this show, y'all. You know, we need to share our platform because they are as y'all seen with Roland Martin and you know, Oprah, they are removing Black voices and Black people in power places to promote positive and truth generated information for our community. No matter how you might have felt about Roland Martin, that was the closest we had to like a Black version of 60 Minutes or a Black version of ABC or CNN. That was the closest, that one damn TV show. And they took it off the air. So please share this, family. But Erica, we you know, when we start addressing this, what do you think some of the things we can do? We need, you know, as you are as well in the Independence Day Project, Erica's the voices, when you hear the voices of children, the one directing them to talk, that's Erica Tolbert. So, Erica, what are some of the things you think we can do to offset this right now, to offset this whole idea of, you know, irresponsibility when it comes to the obligatory response we should have for our community?
Well,
The first thing we could do, because we have it in us to be selfish people. That's why we're individualized. We need to learn to be selfish amongst each other and not feel sorry for other people. Today we were having a conversation in a break room about Hitler. And there was two black guys and myself. The two black guys was like, it was so messed up with them Jewish people. No, it wasn't. Messed up of what we went through, you know, our ancestors went through during slavery. That was messed up. We need to stop feeling sorry for everybody else and looking at everybody else as if it was for them and not victimize ourselves. As I told you, we need to stop seeing ourselves as victims and start seeing ourselves as a survivor. As long as we see ourselves as victims, we'll never be able to escape. But once we see that we are survivors and what are we been through and we're still on top, once we channel our inner strength as a group of people that can survive anything, we can unite. You know what? I went through a lot in the last few years. Mm-hmm. And the more I felt sorry for myself, it seemed like the worse my situation got. But then one day I honestly woke up and was like, drunk, I'm tired of being a victim. I'm taking control of my own destiny, meaning I will not let anyone control my fate. And once I started doing it, my life turned around and it got better because I realized that there was no one out there that was going to make my life better. I didn't want anyone to hear my story of what I was going through and say, oh, I feel sorry for you. Let me help you. Because we have to realize when someone helps you, you can only go as far as their help.
Uh-huh.
But when you're doing it yourself, you go as far as you can take yourself. And to me, that's a huge difference. Because if I help you a mile, you're only going a mile. But if you got it in you to run 10 miles, you can go 10 miles on your own. So we have to realize that when we're reaching out for the people that oppress us to help us, their help only goes as far as them being able to continue to oppress us. They're going to help us to continue to oppress us. But as long as we're alive, we can grow our own food. We can educate our own kids. We can make our own clothes. We can make our own TV shows. We can produce our own music. They won't be able to control us by putting out things on TV we don't want to see. Watching the news, seeing that it's all the crime is being committed by us. The propaganda. We won't have to feed into the propaganda because their news is only going to take us as far as the corner store being robbed, the shootout on 19th Street. Mm-hmm. So again, it's all about learning that we are what we've been waiting for. No one else. We're our own saviors. No one is going to come down in favor. Why would, again, I tell people, if I was God, I wouldn't look at you like that. Every day I wake you up with the power and the strength to be a better you. If I do that, why not still have to come down here and hand walk you through this, even though I wake you up every day telling you I'm waking you up to face this obstacle with the strength to face this obstacle. I've given you the tools. Again, we are what we've been waiting for. But we can't keep it to ourselves. Share the message. Share the message. Share the code. Visit the website. If you believe in independence and you want it bad enough, you're going to do all you can to seek it. I mean, in their history books, they told us that when they were so damn fed up, that they was like, bump this, we're going to keep it independent. We're tired of this.
Yeah.
So as Maya Angelou once said, what's going to happen to take us to get fed up enough that we're going to do something about our situation?
And the irony behind that part, is in terms of being fed up, is we've been fed up over and over. They have really done a great job, a masterful job of convincing us to be satisfied with dysfunction. Because if you're looking at and you identify or you go through, you know, the things we deal with in our community, it's total dysfunction. It's extreme dysfunction that we deal with. You know, the poverty, you know, the broken families, the broken messages to the children, you know, the fact that we have babies out there engaging in adult activities. and that there's no stewardship, that we don't have a rites of passage anymore in terms of how you have to. There used to be a rites of passage just to get on the damn corner. You know, you couldn't just go out to the corner. You had to earn your way onto that corner, because if that corner ever came under siege, the people on that corner knew they had to depend on you to watch their back. You know, nowadays, anybody could be on the damn corner. And this is why you got all this sucking shit going on now with all the unsolved murders and things, or part of it anyway. I know the other part is that whole, those black ops that they have going on in each city with these black site police departments and things of that nature. But the stuff that we can't control, you know, we got too much, we got too many things going on where we don't have a structure in place. And it's like the desire to build the structure or put the structure together, we keep pushing it down the line. I can't tell you how many people I see that see me on the street like, hey, bro, I like what you're doing. Keep it up. And I'm like, yo, bro, can you help? You know what I mean? You know, we can use your help at the park. You know what I'm saying? While we're out there working, you don't need to be turning up. You know, you don't need to be out there partying Friday night so you can't get up Saturday morning to come build. We need to have a code and we need to have structure, because this shit ain't going to stay the same. It's been getting worse incrementally. Right now, what they've done, while we feel as though it's a calm, because since Trump has been in office, the reported number of black people are getting shot by police is not being reported as much. I'm pretty sure it's still happening. It's just not making the news like it used to. Well, that's not going to get any better, y'all. They're really creating a framework so that, you know, once they apply pressure, it's going to happen fast. I was having a conversation with Patrick Irvin, also brother in the Independence Day Project. See, I fuck with good people. but we were talking about how, because we have this sort of like grandized imagination, and we become legends in our own mind. And we start talking about how we're going to take the fight to the people and this, that, and the other, not dealing with the actual process that you might do. Like, I'm going to tell you, now, I'm down for it. I ride for it. I'm actually, after we get off the show, I'm going to the gym, because getting back to the gym is one of my priorities, because we need to be in shape to what we're dealing with, in good health. I saw those tanks out in Baltimore. I saw those long lines of prison buses. You know, I saw those long lines of Humvee. I saw organization that the military had as they descended on a black city in a black community, and how they were able to rope off and pretty much turn Baltimore into what you would see in Iraq. If we're not organized, we can't deal with that. They gave these motherfuckers a curfew. They came down and said, all right, y'all, 10 o'clock, y'all need to be off the streets. And when they didn't comply, they were macing people with this tear gas that looked so fucking... Listen, at the time, I was suffering bad with asthma. If they would have maced me with that shit, I'm guaranteed I'd be dead. Guaranteed. We got to start being able to... We need to have, we need to understand what our condition is. I just came from a fire safety BS class. But one of the things, one of the fire instructors said was that this elderly lady that he's known, that knows that he's a firefighter and a fire instructor, said to him, my house caught on fire, and I know you have been so proud of me, because while the house was on fire, I called 911 and I stayed in that house until somebody showed up. I know you'd be proud of me. And his thinking, he's like, that is the dumbest fucking thing you could do, is stay in a house while it's on fire. But this is what we're doing. Our house is on fire, black people. Our house is on fire. And we're fighting, the house that white supremacy's built. The house that the colonials built for us is on fire. And we're calling them to help put the fire out. They're the ones outside with the gasoline. They're the ones outside with the matches. They're the ones outside barricading the doors, cementing it up so you can't break free. And you're still in the house. That's our condition right now, where they are in their own houses, protecting their houses away so their houses won't catch on fire. And then they have a network put together so whenever their houses do catch on fire, they have the apparatus in place to put the fire out. We're not thinking like a community that has a culture of survival. We're thinking about a community that has a culture of dependency. And a culture of dependency means every dog for themselves. We get to get out of here, and I'm only focused on me. And as Erica said in her piece, very important, we have to have a selfishness about the community. That means you have to have a personal selflessness about where we are and how to build and what we're trying to build toward. We have to be selfless in order to build toward that community that we're trying to build, because in giving more, you will get more in return. Because you might not make, say if you are making six figures a year, you might not make six figures a year with us, but you might be guaranteed to make high five figures with us. And be in a better position, because now you don't have to worry about Whitey, you know, calling you out or making you sign a closure or doing whatever. Because what the thing they do, and I saw this with Issa Rae recently. Do you know about the Issa Rae situation, Erica? I'm not sure if you do, because you don't really catch up to a lot of social media stuff. But you know who Issa Rae is, right?
No. Yeah, the Insecure.
Yeah, right?
Show.
Right, yeah. Right. Now, first of all, they turned Insecure, which was a story about, you know, millennial black people, you know, and professionals, yuppies, you know, it turned it into a smut fest, the second season, where it was all about, you know, who you can sleep with, who can sleep with this, that, and the other. Cool, I, you know, okay, whatever. But now, she's onto this project now, where she's out there creating this show, and two shows. One is going to be like a comedy, I think, and another one's going to be like the drama. And the drama is about a bisexual black man. Now, we already have enough issues in our community. We don't need any more of the gender confusion shit that goes on there. We don't need that. And I'm not even bringing it up for a conversation on gender confusion. We can have a whole different show about that. But the thing is this. Whenever you see this, and I guarantee you, mark this day, December 20th, 2017, when y'all see the Issa Rae interview that's coming. It hasn't happened yet, but she's going to be interviewed about this. You know, she's going to have a live interview about this. Watch how she disarms the whole conversation about race. Because in having this thing, the first thing that's going to happen is somebody is going to disarm her about race. And they disarm us through the media by doing certain things like saying, you know, having these concepts where, you know, they'll say, well, you know, a black person said it, so it couldn't be racist if a black person's doing it. And then and she'll be on in, and the first thing she's going to say, I guarantee, is she's going to have this exasperated look, right? Like she's breathing new air. Like the air she's breathing is the freshest shit she's ever smelled. Like this rose petals is falling out of the sky. You know what I mean? And it's going to be this amazing look, like I made it look. We all know the look. And what's going to happen is she's going to be in that situation talking about how, you know, how this is a new chapter in her career, and how she's wanting to expand her horizons, and how this is not about race, and, you know, how race has nothing to do. Watch how she plays it, how she disarms race in the media. And this is what we've been doing in the classrooms. And so you wonder why. Erica, you brought up something a few minutes ago, and we're not going to be on here too much longer, fam. But I just want to tell them. Erica, you brought up something a few minutes ago. When you say how they look out for themselves and their community, do you know one of the strongest things they do? You say something about when we need help, the person that helps you is only going to help you, but so much. Well, when you talk about education in the classroom, right? The majority of the school teachers are white Jewish women. In the schools throughout the country, the public school system is dominated. The school union is dominated. That's why they created the standardized test for teachers to earn certifications, to make sure that they maintain it, that they reclaim that balance. Because there was a time in the 80s and the 90s, where and early 2000s even when black people were marching out of those universities and taking over classrooms, right? They created these standardized tests. When you put that Jewish woman in that room, do you think she wants to put your child in a position to do better than her child? Do you think that she wants to give your child an advantage in life that her child is not receiving? It's common sense. You don't even have to, because we get stuck on this whole idea of morality. And they have done a masterful job at really brain fucking the black community into this whole conversation about because we're the most discriminated against people, that we should offer the most diversity within our circles. They have really, and that doesn't even make sense when you really think about it. Think about this. Every other group is exclusionary. This whole, the Jewish foundations have foundations for the Jewish community. They actually say the Jewish community. Irish foundations have committees for the Irish foundation, for the Irish community. Italians, Polish, all these different groups and ethnicities have their functions for their specific community. And they do not let anybody else in. They don't give no fucks about it. The LGBTQ, they have their own functions that says for gay queer empowerment. They have all those things, but they shame black people into saying black empowerment is wrong. Black empowerment is racist because we can't get in. Well, hold the fuck up. You're not supposed to get in. You're not supposed to be a part of what we're trying to build. Why do you have us sitting here shameful about the fact that we want to build black power from black hands and black people, black energy, and black dollars? What the fuck gives you the right to feel as though you have access to that? And what shame on us for falling for that bullshit? We have one corner on the goddamn table. You have the whole table, and you're fighting to get into our goddamn corner, and you're going to shame us for that? And we're going to allow you to shame us for that? That's bullshit. And that's one of the things we have to start addressing as a people and calling the bullshit out, because quietly, motherfuckers like Stephen A. Smith will say, brother, you know, I know the game, but you know, I got to play this part over here to get this money. What's the purpose of being black and getting money if you still got to be a fucking coon? What's the purpose? What's the purpose of being black and getting paid if you're still a plantation Negro who can't do shit because they'll chop off your access to wealth? What's the part? Go ahead, Erica.
Oh, I was just moving, but you know what? They go back to a lot of people say that we have to learn not to have our integrity and our character fulfilled. We cannot put a price on your integrity and your character. But as Kanye said, they made us hate ourselves and love their wealth. It's like we think with somebody because they're allowing us to receive crumbs from their table. We have to get out of the habit of wanting crumbs from somebody else's table, begging them and making ourselves look bad and blasting ourselves to make them feel good about being bigots on their station. It's, I don't understand why anyone, you couldn't pay me to be the token. You just could not pay me. I don't care. And I know people say, well, it's easy for you to say because you're not the one that's being presented. You have to wear something on you and say, hey, you can't even approach me with that bush. I can tell women that it's a certain type of man that never approached me. Because I guess when he see me coming, he already knows, because men are hunters by nature, oh, I can't approach her. You cannot approach me with any amount of money to tell me to get in front of on the TV screen to sell my people out, to make my people feel bad, to the point where, you know, I have my feelings about LaVar, but it is not for the reasons that most people feel about him. I hate what he said about the black community. That's what I dislike about him, what he got on national TV and said about poor black people. Outside of that, Charles Barkley said, this man isn't a good father. He's exploiting his kids and he's doing this and he's doing that. But at the end of the day, Charles Barkley has always been exploited by white men and white women.
Mm-hmm.
You've always been used.
Mm-hmm.
You've always allowed them to exploit you.
Oh, in the worst way. In the worst way. I can tell
you. He got on TV and said, this man was a bad father. He has no respect for him. He bashed this black man. I mean, bashed him. Because white people don't like LaVar Ball. So you joined in the ranks of them bashing this black man for doing something that most black parents don't think to do for their kids.
Exactly. And I say that often. You know, I have my issues with LaVar Ball. I mean, and you don't have to agree with everything, But the one thing I'm not going to be have an issue with is that a black man is trying to be out there and step in front and protect his children. It's not exploitation. His children are talented. He's just making sure that his children aren't exploited by those entities that will exploit them, that will molest them, that will take them in the rooms and say, you have to sit on the casting couch if you want for your community, want for your career to be promoted. And just shame on Charles Barkley, because here in Philadelphia, Charles Barkley comes on the radio all the time, and they always fuck with Charles Barkley. They have impersonators that come on and do the dee ba dee ba dee ba dee ba, my name is Charles above the Barkley, and do all that bullshit every fucking year. They have it, especially now around this time when, Christmas and everybody doing the Christmas thing. When they have those Christmas shows and they start having the celebrity comedians come in, they always shit on Charles Barkley and have him at the big, bubbling, stumbling, dumb, big nigga athlete, dumbass, and they impersonate him right here in Philadelphia. Whether it's what radio station is, WIP, or whether it's the other one, The Fanatic. They always shit on Charles Barkley every year, and he just sits back and laugh about it. And it takes me back to a time when I was working at Bloomsburg University. I was a dispatcher in the university's police department. We had a black police chief, Maggie Boykin, who wasn't no fucking joke. And they got Maggie out of there because Maggie was cutting down all the racism and shit and how fucking way they was treating black people on their campus. So Maggie would only hire black students who needed money to work in the police station. They had one black police officer, his name was Sam. And anybody that went to Bloomsburg knows this story. They used to Sam was from Alabama. So Sam had a country draw. And when he would talk, a draw when he talked. And they would write, they would draw pictures and goofy ass Negroes on his locker and tape it on his locker. And then they would also write, these are Sam's words, duh, buh, duh, bee, duh. And Sam, being the coon that he was, I like Sam. Sam was a good person, but he was a fucking coon. Because he let them do that shit and say, Maggie, they just playing. Like, get the fuck out of here. Those days is over. Letting them destroy. Let me just say this one more thing, right? When it comes to exploitation and respect, we talked about that before. You know when a community is really a community, and not just in words, but in functionality, when a community protects its best interest. You wouldn't hear nobody in movies saying the word nigger ever again if we had it respect and integrity. Because guess what? With all the movies you see playing out right now, you can't go to no movie, point a movie out where the word kike is used. You can't say the word kike, or you can't even say the word, the craziest, the word, the furthest they'll go is they'll say something like Jew fuck or this, that, and the other. That'd be like those mafia stories that give it a realistic sort of appeal. But that's as far as they go in disrespecting the Jewish community in regards to that, because the Jewish community is protected. They understand that you infringe on them the least bit, they come out with all guns blazing. And recently, you had Black Thought. Black Thought, everybody knows Black Thought from Philly. Black Thought used to come to Bloomsburg every weekend to do battles, because he knew my man Arm from Uptown. They used to come to Bloomsburg every weekend, right? So back in the day, we see the brother up there, shout out to Black Thor. He was always ill. We're talking about back in 1992, 93. He was always ill. But Black Thor did a 10-minute freestyle. And it was blowing up all over Twitter. Now, these Europeans are out there talking about, well, because it went viral, well, wouldn't it be racist if we had White Thor out there? And this, then they started trolling. And I had to, break in the conversation and say, listen, this is not them being ignorant. This is them being a community that's in its wartime stance. So they take anything. You start talking about Black Thought. Shit, Black Thought, metaphorically speaking, you can start expanding Black power through the process of calling somebody Black Thought and then, bigging up his genius. They went on attack because they felt as though any infringement or any empowerment that Black people gather around or support is an infringement on their privilege and an infringement on their power in terms of their colonial power. So as a community, they went hard at all the brothers and sisters who were sharing and hashtagging Black Thought. Because they respond in terms of not allowing anything to go down. They don't allow anything to go down. in regards to a threat. And we, as a community, we would stop. There would be no more Quentin Tarantino movies. We would check people like Samuel L. Jackson for making it okay for people to say the word nigga as much as they do. We would check everybody the whole genre. Hip hop community would be changed overnight because we would no longer allow them to call, you know, each other niggas and bitches. If we had a community and a culture of survival, because we would be protecting that. Because you can't promote killing, you can't promote taking advantage of, you can't promote sexualizing something you protect, love, and respect. And that's where we have to start getting in terms of our empowerment. We have to start checking those things. We have to start building the culture. And listen, we talk about all this in the Independence Day Project, fam. And the irony is, I wouldn't even want to talk about the movie that much tonight. But Erica, you've seen the movie, right? You seen the first act. Erica.
Yeah, I'm fine with the music. I'm actually fine with it.
Telling me.
Yes, I saw the first half. I'm sorry.
Do we cover most of the stuff in the Independence Day Project?
Yes.
So, thank you for that enthusiastic response. Well, we cover this in the Independence Day Project, family. We cover this. And we cover this and more. So we're about to check out of here. It's getting late. Thank y'all for tuning in. And we want for y'all to join us every Wednesday. We're going to be every Wednesday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make sure y'all make it out to the Black Marketplace. Make it out to the Buy Black Marketplace. Don't pay attention to the date. Just look at the address and look at the information on the address. Look at the, make sure you got the information. All right, the Buy Black Marketplace for Brother Oba is, also, this is also a fundraiser for the Independence Day, African Independence Day that happens the first Saturday every August. First Saturday, I believe it's August. Is it August 4th this year coming? Or might have been August 4th. It's the first Saturday. So make plans to come to Philadelphia. Hang out with your brother. I will be there. You know, we're going to try to find a venue, maybe even an outdoor venue, to show the Independence Day Project to the family. But make sure y'all get a chance to come out, family, for that on Saturday. Make sure you also get a chance to check my brother Mitchell Chance. Go to Mitchell Chance's Facebook page. Just go type Mitchell Chance, or you go to my page. I'll be able to share it. His program is also going to be this Saturday. We have the Black Kwanzaa celebrations coming up all next week, so stay tuned for that. I'm going to be promoting on my page once again, offering promotions for, you know, the Independence Day Project movie. So that if you want your business to be advertised before the movie starts, just like if you go sit in the theater and you see like the Ronald McDonald Foundation, Guy Rogers, and all those other places, and all those commercials, your local dentist, and this, that, and the other that's advertising before a movie, you will get to do that before the movie. So this will be a permanent, you know, fixture addition to the movie. So if you want to do that, contact your brother here. You know, hit me up on my inbox at Carl Tone Jones on Facebook. I'll make it easy for you. Hit me up on the inbox. And we'll check that out, and we'll talk and see what we can put together, family. I see Brother William Bean. Let's see. We had some, Wilbert Bean had some comments. Brother Wilbert Bean said, to win a war, you have to win battles. It's not about being the lowest state, but assuming it because one of those dollar bills turns into his opportunity. I think brother might have been typing fast. see, I can go further. Well, brother, we have the lines open, but we're about to check out. So call in. Next time, we're going to have callers call into the show next week. Brother Mark McPhee said the Marshall Plan will go into effect. They will justify it by saying the murder and crime is out of control. We need to show force and bring back civility. They're forever criminalizing our people. The sad thing is some of our people are allowing the system to believe, allowing themselves to believe these generalizations. You're absolutely right. You know, and this is the thing we have to understand. Man, when they were talking about Chicago, they were talking about all black people. It wasn't Chicago. Chicago was just code because Chicago happens to be the highest concentration of black people in one city. Like, more black people in Chicago than anywhere else in the country. So when you talk about Chicago, you're really talking about all black community, which is why when they brought the ATF, into Chicago. They also brought it into Baltimore that same week, and it had been up and operating for about 6 months before they announced it. You know, but, you know, all you hear is crime in Chicago. Oh, it's bad and bad in Chicago. Chicago's not even in the top 20 cities in terms of murder rate. If you talk go by cities of populations of 100,000 people or more, Chicago's not even in the top 20 cities. But the propaganda is real. And we fall into a feeder. And not to mention, you know, we catch them body snatching, so we don't even know who's committing all these murders. You know, just because you're wearing a flag and a bandana don't mean shit. We saw in the King of New York, the cops will resort to doing gangland shit, you know, in order to meet their objectives. And we know that they have slaughterhouses all over the place. They found, in Detroit, they found their house of bodies where they were selling body parts on the black market. They're selling melanin, and they're also doing, like, they're doing transplants for body parts on the black market. Where the fuck are they getting these body parts from, you know? So, you know, fam, we got to make sure that we stay on code and stay on top of this stuff. But if you want to bring us to your city, because like you said, the Independence Day Project, the movie is here. You know, if you want to bring us to your city, hit a brother up. You know, and let's try to find a way to make it happen. And I'm trying to bring it to the city. You're about to see it all over Philly, I tell you that much, because I'm getting on the horn, and we're going to highlight a few brothers and sisters, and we're going to make this thing pop. So, Erica, brilliant topic for tonight. I want to thank my co-host, Erica Tolbert, for coming up with tonight's topic. You know, it was on point and on time considering the day and the things that we're dealing with. Erica, any closing remarks before we set this thing on?
Don't forget to share the show. You could download, if you have iPhones, you can go to iTunes, download the podcast, listen to it anytime. Freedom Train, you go to the Freedom Train website. Also, I know Carl said if you have your business, you can promote, not just you, if you know someone that has a black-owned business, whether they're making grease, making shea butter, perfume, cologne, oil, scent, photography, whatever it is that black people are out there doing, and they're, you know, they have their own business, let them know. Say, hey, you can advertise in this documentary, $25. That's nothing. $50 for 30 seconds. So, don't forget to check out the code. Go to the website, www.pactinc.org. Go to On the Shoulder of Giants 1, is it? I got the link up.
OnTheShouldersOne.org and On the Shoulders of Giants.
Okay, yeah, OnTheShouldersOne.com.
.com, okay, yeah. OnTheShouldersOne.com.
Yeah, because I was looking at it. I was going to stop in his fight earlier today. Yeah, he hadn't returned my call, whatever the dude's name is. And that's the one that called me. He hadn't even called me yet. It's been like months now. Check out Brother Joseph Ward on the Shoulders of Giants. And be on the lookout for the Independence Project. It was a very outstanding documentary. Check out the trailer on YouTube. That's all I have to say. Get on code.
Get on code, family. Well, check out, make sure y'all go to the Freedom Train Radio Network. Freedom Train Radio Network at freedomtrainradio.com. They're also one of the sponsors for the Independence Day Project. Have a bunch of brilliant shows on the Freedom Train Network. That's the Freedom Train Show, the Freedom Train Radio Podcast, hosted by my brothers Patrick Irvin, Joseph Ward, and Jamie Buchanan. All right, we also have my brother Joe Ward talks about sports with The Fix, hosted by Joe Ward. My brother Patrick Irvin is breaking down not just history, but also all types of documentaries and historical events on Lessons from the Screen. And of course, you know, yeah, we have Office Hours, and we have the upcoming Showtime, Tea Time. You know what I'm saying, with our sisters, and they're going to put in some work. So, you know, make sure y'all get a chance to check out the Freedom Train Radio Network at freedomtrainradio.com. Make sure you get a chance also to check out my brother Lionel at Lionel's Car Wash in 1924 Hunting Park, West Hunting Park. 1924 West Hunting Park. That's on the cross streets of Hunting Park and Archer Street. So make sure you check them out. Get your car washed and detailed. Really good, very good prices. Very fast service. You know, my brother looked out. He's also a proud sponsor of the Independence Day Project. You know, make sure you get to check out the family, y'all. Make sure y'all take care of the family. Make sure y'all come out to the Bob Black Marketplace this weekend you know, at 18th and Diamond here in Philadelphia, cross streets of 18th and Diamond at the Church of the Advocate. Make sure y'all come out and show love and support to the brothers and sisters that are out there, you know, bringing their gifts to you, you know what I'm saying, and coming back for family. We have to be strong with each other. We have to start doing the right things, family. You know, so and we have to start building, family. We have to start building it the right way. So, you know, until then, family, we're about to break out of here. But always, 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 peace, love, and Black power. Yeah.